Hello, and I'm Katie, and this is the third podcast in the series of McMurray College in Social Work, a century of social work education. Aside from all the club activities and people who relate to social work, I think it's time to dive into the actual history of social work courses and move along that timeline of events. Social work seems like it has always been around, just not in the full capacity as it is today. At one time, women's roles were to reproduce, maintain a home life, and accomplish some domestic services outside the home. Anything else was unthinkable. Women's rights, women's movements, suffrage, and professional development were advanced in part under the Methodist tradition. Becoming independent came gradually through church-based education, mission societies, settlement houses, YWCA, and growing roles within the church. Two primary accepted purposes of the education and training of women were to allow them to spread the gospel message and to help raise educated young men. But through the 1900s up to the Great Depression, the movement of women into social services was evident. So, how does McMurray fit into the big picture? Well, McMurray has its roots in the Methodist tradition. At the Illinois Methodist Conference, it was noted that the Women's College, which is now McMurray College, recognizes and rejoices in its advantage and obligations as a college of the church. Its motto is knowledge, faith, service, and its earnest endeavor is to send out women who are capable and willing of every womanly relation in the home, in society, and in church. McMurray women were attracted to women's duties, mission work, and volunteerism. According to Waters, the social sense of these young ladies, their interest in the underprivileged and the oppressed, their humanitarianism is evidenced by their choice of essay and oration and the many digests of these subjects. Fine New Girls were debating social issues such as poverty as a disease, labor conditions, and whether or not poorer classes in America were better than other countries. The Wesleyan ideals of perfecting society through service and mission was apparent at McMurray, and by 1923, the alumna directory showed 5 McMurray students in the social service field at locations such as children's homes, the Department of Public Welfare, and the YWCA. In a 1943 article written by President McClellan titled The Educations of Females in Early Illinois, he writes that women are judged as individuals rather than as women. They set their own standards. While in coeducational college, their standards are largely fixed by men. He cited that the success at women's colleges were determined by qualities of leadership and service rather than by mere feminine charm. By the Great Depression and World War II, there was greater movement toward professional training than religious training. Social work roots in religious training and education helped pave the way for women to enter careers in the emerging social work field. And I can honestly say that most of the work I did in the following section of the research was copying. Yep. Entering in a code, putting that book down on the glass, and just letting it do its work. I'll tell you, after days of reading information, some of it that pertained to this research and others that didn't, some of it being boring and some of it being super interesting, it was just my pleasure to do some mindless activity like copying. And it was neat to see how the courses changed a little every couple years, and then more drastic changes occurred when new faculty members was thrown into the mix. And now it's time to summarize about 100 years of courses as it relates to social work. Now, ladies and gentlemen, buckle up, because you are in for quite the ride. So the earliest indication of social services course at McMurray appears in the 1912-1913 course catalog. It was titled Practical Problems of Social Services as part of the History Department. It provided a general survey of some of the greatest movements organized for the betterment of social conditions. It even included field trips to state institutions in the community. You can sign me up for that course. Sociology began at McMurray in the 1914-1915 academic year. The course Elements of Sociology covered the evolution of social institutions, domestic, religious educations, and industrial, social organization, and social reform. In the bigger picture, social work education was expanded by the needs of World War I and post-war period. At McMurray in 1919, social psychology and social casework were added as courses, but of the inclination toward reformist sociology stemmed from being located in Jacksonville, a town with several major social service agencies and noted for its service orientation. In 1922, introduction to social service work and social casework were offered under sociology courses, but social service work was dropped the following year. Social casework was taught by the superintendent of the Social Service League of Jacksonville. The content that was covered in the class was individual and family casework, rehabilitation, child welfare, probation work, and mother's pensions. On a side note, mother's pensions was the precursor to the Aid to Families with Dependent Children, AFDC, which is now replaced by Temporary Assistance to Needy Families, now TANF. It also included 8 hours per week of field work. Now, folks, this is like a mini social work course load packed into one class. And by 1926, students can major or minor in social science. So back to the larger picture. The Great Depression created renewed interest in social work education for many students due to both the growth in social services to meet the needs of poverty during the Depression and the growth in social services in the FDR administrations. It profoundly affected the scope of social work from private philanthropy and charity to administration of public social services. It also affected McMurray. In 1932, history was dropped from the department title to the renamed Department of Social Sciences. In the annual Illinois Methodist Conference, all the considerations which have gone into the building of the curriculum pertain especially to the interests of women. Courses at McMurray were changing because of the changing professions women were entering, which included the precedent of Methodist women involved with social work. Over the next few years, other classes were added. The next turning point in sociology at McMurray was when Elsa Kimball stepped into the halls of McMurray. She was offered the chairmanship of the Department of Economics and Sociology after a 2-hour interview at the Albany train station by President McClellan. He agreed to give her full professor rank after 1 year. She was teaching at Russell Sage College at the time. Her resume was absolutely stacked. It included Smith College, Columbia University, and Russell Sage College in 3 years residence at the American College for Women in Istanbul, Turkey. She traveled extensively during summers to England, France, Belgium, Germany, Holland, Italy, Spain, Portugal, and Algiers. She received her PhD from Columbia University. She had one of the highest ranking syllabi in the nation for psychology in 1922. The president found her to have an attractive personality, and she's unusually intelligent. Well, I would have to agree, and I've never even met her. The 1938 course catalog outlined the purpose of the course in her department. One of the purposes outlined was to prepare those who plan a career in social services to enter schools of social work. It advises those interested in social work to take a broad array of pre-professional subjects which are recognized by the American Association of Schools of Social Work being closely related to the social service curriculum. The American Association of Schools of Social Work was forwarded in 1919 by 19 universities and colleges and included 41 schools by 1940. It approves educational standards for which the member schools of social work must conform to maintain accreditation. The group is now called the Council for Social Work Education, CSWE. In 1938, the catalog further states, courses offered here in sociology have been arranged to prepare students for graduate study in social work. social theory, collective behavior, labor problems, race and population, the family, social wardship, social welfare, and welfare administration were added to the course list. There was more of a push to be in line with the academic social sciences. The 1940-1941 catalog included a statement of aims by President McClellan. He said, "Nearly all of our graduates will be interested in social welfare, and they should be equipped for participation in community enterprises, not only by worthy motives, but also by adequate knowledge of the facts, relations, processes, and society. Students need to be equipped with the knowledge and skills to be used in social services, not just the willingness to help out." By the 1942-43 academic year, the nation was entrenched in World War II. McMurray partnered with the American Red Cross, and courses were offered to prepare women for service which may lie ahead. The 1943-44 catalog stated that there was a demand for highly trained women. Of the six areas listed, the final is social and community service, listing the need for social workers. Also in 1942, a division of graduate studies was established at McMurray, and a student could obtain a master's of arts degree in work with handicapped children. That's pretty awesome, if I do say so myself. Hendrickson, in the first 100 years, states, "One of the objectives of the department is to provide preparation for those who want to go into social work as a career, and a number chose this field. Adjunct faculty was brought in from the state hospital and other agencies." Not surprisingly, Kimball taught some of the courses as well. In 1943-44, psychiatric social case work was added to the list of courses at the graduate level. As described by the catalog, it covered work among psychotics, both in the hospital and in the outpatient clinic. This was probably brought about by the greater awareness of psychiatric issues as soldiers returned with shell shock, which we now know as post-traumatic stress disorder. In the larger picture, President Truman appointed a social worker, Frances Perkins, to the United States Civil Service Commission. Social workers entering federal services in some state-level positions would need to pass this civil service exam. The civil service selection of personnel in social work was increasingly important due to the Social Security Act. Interestingly enough, women could be administrative heads of social service agency department chairs, deans, and heads of government departments with social work. At McMurray, the purposes of the Division of Social Studies was to prepare social workers for graduate school or for those entering agencies of the public welfare and to prepare candidates for the civil service exams. For a feminist like Kimball, who, according to Collinwood, described herself as a missionary educating women for positions of leadership for the nation and community, would have been a priority for her teaching. What is more perfect than preparing students to be the administrative heads of social service agencies and heads of government departments with social work? Her feminist side was displayed by her activism of marching down Fifth Avenue in New York City for the Women's Suffrage Parade, delivering speeches on the life histories of women struggling for equality, and memberships in the League of Women Voters and American Association of University Women. Fortunately, there was a steady decline in sociology majors over the next few years at McMurray, and in 1957, Kimball retired. So that's all for now, folks, and you'll have to tune in next time to hear more about the next developments in the social work program. Until then, cheers!